minimum wage is a minimum wage. This is America, and if we have a minimum wage, you have to pay that.
For Maryland job placement counselor Linda Correa, it was a matter of principle. When she learned that federal labor laws allow severely disabled workers to earn just pennies per hour, that didn't seem fair. But when she herself had to find jobs for disabled people, she changed her mind.
You can't ask a for-profit business to employ people that work so slowly that it would cost their profit.
Reporter Sasha Coca took a look at this complicated business of disabled workers, money, and jobs. She filed this report.
During the course of their working lives, Joe Gilbert and Scott Baird have stuffed tens of thousands of envelopes. They put hundreds of labels on newsletters. They packaged dental floss and assembled components for vehicle headrests. And each week, they made just enough to pay for a bag of chips and a soda. They earned 9 cents an hour. That's less than most prisoners earn making license plates. Scott and Joe work as a team, but together they produce far less than an average worker. They're both mentally retarded. Joe is 64 and doesn't talk much. Scott is 34. He has cerebral palsy and is a quadriplegic. They worked at a center for disabled people in Northern Maryland. Phyllis Baird is Scott's mom.
We knew he was safe. We knew who was with him at all times, and we knew there wouldn't be a threat to him by the outside world.
And for companies that need the work done, contracting the disabled is a good deal. It's cheap labor, no benefits, no overhead. But Tim Quinn was uneasy. He directed the nonprofit, called the Ark of the Northern Chesapeake, that ran the workshop. Then about 6 years ago,
this light bulb went off. My God, workshops, they were our system. The family systems, because they were clean and they were safe. And the people that get services didn't want that. They wanted what you and I want. They wanted a real job.
Quinn counts himself among a growing number of advocates who favor placing the retarded into the regular workforce. Quinn closed the workshop, which had served families for decades. He challenged his staff to help the disabled workers find real jobs where they could earn at least minimum wage. That made Phyllis Baird nervous.
You're going to do what? Where will Scott be?
Job counselor Karen Brenniger Price was wondering the same thing. She had to find real jobs for people leaving the workshop. Some could wash cars at a dealership or shelve books at the library. But Joe didn't want to leave the workshop, and Scott was going to be a real challenge.
I had never worked with anyone with any type of disabilities, and they pointed over to a gentleman in a wheelchair who was looking at himself in the mirrors, making a noise, and I thought to myself, I'm going to get that man a job? Oh, no.
At first glance, Scott appears frozen in his chair. His neck twists to one side, and his face tilts towards the ceiling. At the workshop, he had to use a mirror to see what he was doing with his hands. As his cerebral palsy has progressed, he's lost most of his dexterity, and now can only use two fingers to operate his electronic voice box.
My name is Scott.
Message, listen, Joe.
Joe Gilbert has a wry smile, and he walks like a French maitre d'. His challenge wasn't physical, but emotional. He was willing to try out a new job, but only if it meant working with Scott.
One is the brains and one is the brawn.
Karen Brenniger Price trained them to deliver mail at the Aberdeen Proving Ground, a U.S. Army weapons testing facility.
Scott is the brains of the outfit. Physically, it's not possible for him to put the mail into the bag or to take it out of the bag, but that's okay because that's where Joe comes in.
As Scott negotiates the hallways, his wheelchair decorated with stickers and American flags, Joe ambles alongside. They stop at each office. Joe picks up an envelope and shows it to Scott. If it's the right office, Scott smiles. But if not, Scott's voice box says,
"Wrong office."
Scott's the quality control for the team. And when he speeds down the halls too fast, Joe's the one who tells him to knock it off. They do the job so smoothly, it's hard to tell that Scott can only read a little and Joe can't read at all. Together, they match the color and number codes at each office door with those on the envelopes. When Aberdeen Administrator Judy Matthews hired them 5 years ago, she was facing a budget crunch. She didn't have money to pay a federal salary to a mail carrier. so she hired Scott and Joe as volunteers.
I entered into it with some trepidation because when I was told people were going to be in motorized chairs, nonverbal, I was very skeptical. I had no idea how this was going to work. But I was willing to take a chance.
Since then, the Army has promoted the male team as a model for incorporating the disabled into the workplace. Scott and Joe are now permanent employees, each earning $5.64 an hour. That's more than 50 times what they made stuffing envelopes. But their co-workers had to get used to mailmen who didn't stop to chat.
The communication barriers were the biggest issue that we had to overcome. Scott comes into the room and he really can't respond to you, and you're not sure what he needs or what he wants.
Now Scott and Joe eat lunch with the general once a month. Again, Scott's mother, Phyllis Baird.
Once he was in that work world, he just blossomed. And what excites us is he's a person with no speech, and we don't go hardly anywhere with somebody saying, "Oh, hi, Scott. I'll see you at work tomorrow."
But it takes a lot of work to make this happen. Other people have jobs just to make sure Scott and Joe can do theirs. They need a van driver to drop them off. A job coach has to spoon-feed Scott his lunch and be on hand in case there are any problems.
He fell over in the wheelchair.
Karen Brenniger Price.
It's going to happen. I mean, it's life. I know that he would rather go through some of these days than be kept in a little glass bubble.
So is this a real job, or is it just charity? Or does it make a difference? The money is just over minimum wage, but nowhere near a federal salary. The extra income does help the families, and the commanding officer at Aberdeen says Scott and Joe really do provide a valuable service. Phyllis Baird says her son Scott loves being a mailman.
Even as family, we never were aware of what his abilities were totally until he was out there in the working world. And like I said, now he's Mr. Socialite, and there is no way you're going to put him back in any backward way. He's definitely moving forward.
Back to work.
Back to work.
For NPR News, this is Sasha Coca.
That story was originally produced as part of NPR's Next Generation Radio Project.